Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva. Welcome back, everybody. It's Eva here.
Hello, it's Kylie. Welcome back to Hello Universe.
Thanks for tuning in again. We have another kick-ass episode for you today with the wonderful Cynthia James.
But oh my gosh, so good.
Yeah, it's really good. Like legit good. So before we jump into that though, we wanted to actually introduce you to another podcast that we thought you might like, because if you like this one, then you'll probably like this other one. Kylie, do you want to say a little bit about
it? So if you guys remember episode with Jesse Da Silva, who is a psychic money coach and just hilarious woman, she now has her own podcast called Millennial Mystics with her friend Kaylee. And I've been lucky enough to be a guest on it. So if you like really need an extra dose of me, you can go listen to that episode. But it is just super smart. Kaylee is like incredibly knowledgeable about all things witchy. Jesse is hilarious and smart. They are tackling social justice issues. Their episode about human design was the first time that I actually even started to understand human design.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah, if you like what we're doing, you'll definitely like what they're doing. So you should go check it out.
Yeah. We'll probably be talking about this podcast more, but Jesse, she, the way she talked about it when she was on our podcast is she was just getting started. She was like, she's a little baby witch and her friend is like a major witch. And so they're like learning from each other. I just thought that was such a fun way to describe it.
Yes.
So, and
yes.
Jesse's just like, has just this amazing energy. So go check her out. What's the name of the podcast?
It's called Millennial Mystics.
Oh, right. Millennial Mystics. Right. Okay.
And I will link it. We'll link to it in the show notes. It's on all the major, major podcast platforms and it is great.
Awesome. Great.
Yeah. So in addition to great new podcasts, what are you up to, Eva?
Right. Well, actually, currently I am booked out of my coaching sessions, which is kind of exciting. I'm not currently taking any new clients.
What? Get on that wait list, people.
Yeah. But yes, Kylie is absolutely correct. I'm going to be creating a wait list. Basically, if you're interested in working with me on my one-on-one coaching and meditation program, you can email me. I'll probably set something up on my Instagram where you can sign up for the wait list. But for anyone who's interested to work with me in the future, it really is about looking at your mindset and complementing that with the personal work that you do on your own in your own time when you're meditating and learning not to identify with your thoughts, not to over-identify with your emotions, just to come back to your own presence. And the things that you learn in meditation, you're going to find are going to come up in your coaching, and things that come in your coaching are going to come up in your meditation. It really is just these two things complement each other so, so well in terms of like transforming anxiety into calm, so that for you ambitious, hardworking women out there who are a lot of the women that I work with, that you can still, you know, do what you want to do, but from a place of flow and ease and love. So if you're interested, you can find me on Instagram at badbitchliving, or you can find me at evaleao.com.
Awesome.
Yeah. What about you, Kylie?
So I do feel like every time I come on this podcast, I have a new thing that I'm promoting, which my human design tells me is because I'm a manifesting generator. So, you know,
I don't know what that means, but it sounds very cool.
This past weekend I was doing a client reading, it was super, super awesome woman. And, basically, before we opened her records, it came out that it made sense for us to work together and for me to help her learn how to read the records. And I was super excited, and it just like happened super organically. And then I, after her session, checked my messages on Facebook, and another amazing client had messaged me and was like, hey, I think I want to learn how to read the records. So I guess I'm teaching people how to read the Akashic records now.
Yes, which I'm so excited about. I totally want to sign up for this. Get on board.
And like, this is just how my brain is. So then I was like, oh, okay, I guess the universe wants me to do this thing. And before I could let myself think, I posted it on Facebook. 30 people responded that they were interested, which like, I've never had that many comments on, you know, a single Facebook post.
Also a very good sign though, which means also people like have been following you and they see your shit and they like what you're doing.
Well, and I think also like, you know, the Akashic Records are cool. So, you know, I get wanting to learn how to read them. So it's going to be a 4-week program. And, you know, we're going to have workshops. We're going to, you're going to have an opportunity to practice with each other. You know, the biggest thing about the Akashic Records is it's your own soul's wisdom. And so every single person connects in a different way, uses them in different ways, has a different experience. So it's not going to be some prescriptive thing of like, this is what you do and this is what you should experience. But when I first started reading the records, I definitely had a lot of like, is this fucking for real? And I think that's totally normal and part of the process, but I would have loved to have some community of people to like vet the experience from and learn from. And I think I am in particular most interested in using them for healing. And so I have been lucky enough to kind of come across a number of different ways to use the records for healing with clients and with myself. And so I will share the things that have like channeled through for me over the, you know, past year/lifetimes that I've been doing this. So, so yeah, it will be, you know, whether you're interested in it for yourself or you're interested in doing it for clients or, you know, you're just curious. It's 4 weeks. It's $500. I message me if you want to do a payment plan. Like, I'm kind of being super cash about this, but it's going to be really wonderful. It's actually going to start after the 4th of July. So let me know if you have questions, but I'm super excited about it.
So. Oh my God. I'm so excited about this too. I think like, yeah, I mean, they're, I don't know. I feel very excited about being able to learn from you. That feels really special. Cause I know how much, like, not, of course it's meaningful to you. I know I can say how meaningful it is to you and how like how much healing you've been able to experience and help other people do too, but like this, I just know you're the real deal, you know what I mean?
Aww,
like
thank you.
Yeah, because well, sometimes with other things like that, especially like, you know, like people on the internet, you're like, I don't know like what this is about, but like your heart and soul is, and you like walk this walk that you don't just talk the talk, you know what I mean? Like you're the real deal. So,
well, I think that's why, thank you. That was very kind of you. I think that's why that's why I'm really excited to share this with people, is because it's just been such an immense source of comfort and like a way of navigating, I don't know, life, of like being able to touch into my own heart and like, and from doing work in the records now, I feel like, I don't know, it just feels, I don't know, I could go down a whole rabbit hole, but it's just really helped me touch into what is true for me. Mm-hmm. And it has also helped me touch into a place of like, this is what it feels like when I am in alignment with, you know, my highest self, universal love, like whatever you want to call it. Like I now have this sense of what it is that I'm returning home to. Mm-hmm. And that's come from my place of being in the records. And so before, I think I had this like striving feeling towards something, but I didn't know what I was striving towards. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I know what home base is, and I might get really fucking lost. Mm-hmm. You know, I might be like off at like the whole next playground. Mm-hmm. But I do know what home base is, and that I'm really grateful for. And so I'm eager to share and to learn, because like I said, everyone's experience is totally different. And so I'm also excited to like learn from other people what they experience.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Yay. All right. So it's starting after July 4th. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. The week after. So July 6th. We'll start it on July 6th. So you have until then to make your decisions.
Awesome. 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 Okay. So is that all the stuff? Is that all the promos out of the way?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Okay. Let's talk about Cynthia, because I'm so excited.
This episode was so great. I could have talked to her for 1,000 years.
Yeah. She had stuff to go do with her husband. So we were like, yes, go enjoy your life. But if had she not told us that, I probably would have kept her on for like another 2 hours.
Yeah.
So a little bit about Cynthia James. She is a speaker, a best-selling author, and a coach. I actually think she does a bunch of other stuff too. She does a lot of online workshops. She helps women with her businesses. But I actually first learned about Cynthia James through my coaching program. She was one of the speakers and she blew me out of the water. So the story that I want to share with y'all, our audience, is that I actually had Cynthia on my vision board.
Yes.
Of just like, but the vision board was really like about a life that I wanted to create and people who had inspired me. But I also do believe that that vision board is partly responsible for me having had, you know, attracting her now into this podcast. But while she was her talk in my coaching program was just so different from a lot of other people. She was super real, super transparent about her own sort of the trauma in her background. You know, she was spiritual, but down to earth. She was soulful. She just like, I don't know why actually. Sometimes you just like connect with someone profoundly. And I was like, this woman is the shit. And I liked her so much that I printed out her photo like a weirdo and put it on my vision board. And now we have this podcast to share with you.
And the universe delivered. Yeah. Which is great because that's actually some of what we talk about. Eva had shared before we recorded that story with Cynthia, but we talked a lot about like our ability to kind of co-create with the universe. And, you know, I sometimes get uncomfortable with conversations around manifestation because I just think sometimes they're icky conversations.
Yeah.
But this is so real. Like Cynthia is just so fucking real. Mm-hmm. And I felt so nourished and inspired by what she had to share. And we had a really great, I think, a meaningful conversation about Black Lives Matter and, you know, what our opportunity and responsibility is and why she as a Black woman feels hopeful in this moment. And it's just a great episode.
Yeah. I mean, she's been doing this work for a long time. I mean, like she is, what do I mean by that? I just think she has a lot of wisdom and experience to impart. So speaking of real deals, I think she's the real deal. So we hope you enjoy this podcast, this episode. I know that we did. And of course, if you like it, you should come find us on the Hello Universe Facebook group.
Yes.
You forgot to mention that. Yeah,
I'm gonna
leave that in there.
Tell us what you thought. Tell us your key takeaway or what quotes you wrote down, because I just had to stop writing quotes down after like the first 20 minutes because just everything she says is quotable. So
yeah,
enjoy.
Cynthia, thank you so, so much for being on our podcast. It is our great honor.
I'm very excited to be with you. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Of course. So as you know, the first question that we like to ask all our guests is, what does spirituality mean to you and how does it show up in your everyday life?
Well, spirituality is everything to me, you know, and it's not religion. I think that we're all spiritual beings. I think we're having a human experience. But we're connected to a field, an infinite field of possibility and beauty and grace and harmony. And in fact, I really think that that spiritual energy, that spiritual field is what we're made of. And so therefore we have the potential to create and co-create with that energy to make the kind of world we want.
Mm. So many questions already. I want to definitely get some information about your background and how you came to do this work, but off the top of my head, I am already curious what you mean when you say we can co-create with that energy. Like, what does that look like? How does one do that?
Well, I really believe we're in an evolutionary creative energy field. When quantum physics talks about it, they talk about a quantum field that is a field of possibility so that you can choose the same thing, for instance, electricity, and use it for light or, you know, for electrocution, you know what I mean? So if that energy is there, then we have the potential to tap into that field and create through our thinking and through our intentionality and our attention, we get to create an extraordinary life.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
That's very powerful. I also just so deeply resonate with this idea that this field of infinite possibility is actually the very stuff we're made of, right? It's that we're not separate from it. It's not something that we invite in so much as it's just it's just who we are. And I really love that intellectually, sometimes experientially, right? It can be hard to trust and believe that. And so I guess I'm just curious for you, how do you experience that oneness or that knowledge that you are the stuff of infinite possibility?
Well, let me just start with the mundane. You know, you're a mom and you can intuitively know something's happening with your child before you get the information. Mm-hmm. That says to me, it's a field. You know, Eva said, you know, I was on her vision board. We had never spoken. We had never met. And yet her intentionality seeded the field. And then synchronicity came in that created an opportunity for us to connect. And mm-hmm. I think that's how it works. I think that when we start putting our attention on things that we want to create, things that we want to experience, then the universe syncs up with us. And the more we do it, the quicker those synchronistic moments occur.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Okay. So you mentioned thinking. I'm just thinking, because like a lot of this podcast is about wanting to make things that are spiritual also accessible and practical for people who, like me, honestly, who could be skeptics and who are very like logical Capricorns, and we want to make it everydayness. So you've dedicated your career, I think, to empowering women, which I think is so phenomenal. Do you have any, I guess, tips or like main points that you go to in terms of how people can sync up with this synchronicity?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, first of all, I think women are in a moment of unraveling conditioning.
Yes.
You know, we were property till the early 1900s, you know, and what was expected of us was to be in the home and to be domesticated. And if we were outside of the home, we were to do domestic things. And so all of a sudden, as women started to awaken, like, oh, I want a voice. I want to vote. You know, I can run a company. I can make money. And so now what we are watching is, you know, I forget the percentage, but in our world right now, women are controlling more of the money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. And in terms of educating, we're getting more higher degrees. Now, there still is a patriarchal society going on that doesn't want us to just get too important with ourselves. but the thing is, it's like when you really start looking at some of the successful people, if you look at Oprah, for instance. For the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, Oprah has been investigating thinking and spirituality and how do you use it to manifest. And if you look online at her talks and things, that's what she's saying. Like, where is your attention? What are you focusing on? What are you speaking about? What is your self-talk? Mm-hmm. All of that is by when you get clear about what you're thinking, then you start... From a logical point of view, you start dropping chemicals, oxytocin, and you get to say, oh, the bliss hormone is moving and it's operating in the field and it's bringing things to me that create powerful experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have, I guess I'm curious to know your own background and your personal experience that sort of brought you to this place of knowing. Mm-hmm.
Well, I consider myself a miraculous unfolding. I really do, because I was born into a family, five generations of women who had been abused and traumatized. My biological father was an alcoholic. My stepfather was a wife beater and a pedophile. And I only knew violence and insanity in my family. All the women in my family married and or remarried the same crazy people in different bodies. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know anything but violence and insanity. Love to me was not something you could trust, because the people who were supposed to take care of you didn't. Mm-hmm. So I was repeating those patterns because it's all I knew.
And
when I say a miraculous unfolding, is because people stepped into my life, teachers, spiritual people came into my life in unexpected ways without me looking for them, that gave me information and gave me opportunities to explore. I was having, you know, one of my crazy relationships, and this woman said to me, she was a psychic, and she said, you know, you're really kind of on the wrong path. And she invited me to go into this kind of new thought spiritual community. And I walked in, and the man on the stage said, you are the captain of your ship. You get to define your destiny. You get to change your thinking and change your life. And I'm like, really? I'm feeling pretty messed up in this moment. Is that really possible?
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so that started the journey. I started taking classes, and I started meditating, and I started doing yoga and different things like that that could start to open my consciousness.
And what does, was there a moment, so I just so relate to this experience of like, okay, I'm inexplicably drawn to this, what this man on the stage is saying. And then there's this other part of me that's like, for real though? And I'm curious for you, if there was a moment where you were like, oh, there's something here. There's something to this.
Yeah. So I made my living as an actress for a number of years. And I'd love to tell you that I just started out and it was like instant fame and success. That was, you know, I was a hostess at Denny's. I did all these crazy things to take care of myself. And I went to this talk, and there was a woman named Edwin Gaines, and she's all about prosperity. And she said, listen, if you want prosperity, you need to tithe. You need to give 10% of your money back to something that feeds your soul. And I thought, 10%, I'm barely paying my bills, right? And then she said, and if you can't give 10%, start small, start with 2%. When you make money, take 2% and give it to some place. It could be a church or not. It could be a charity, some place that feeds your soul. So I thought, well, what have I got to lose? I'm not getting any work, and I'm tired of working at Denny's. So I started giving to places that fed my soul, and I started booking jobs. And I was like, the first few, it was kind of like, oh, you know, it must have been my time.
yeah.
But then it was like, well, what if I go up 2% more, go to 4%? So I literally started, and so tithing is a part of my process now, and I give to different places that feed my soul or that I feel are making a difference on the planet. But what I began to see was there was a correspondence in between my giving and receiving. And I later learned that there was a thing called the law of correspondence. There's a give and take in the universe.
Awesome. I've never heard of that. You know, you hear about the law of attraction a lot, but I've never heard of the law of correspondence. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense though.
I had my own, I have my own experience like this weekend. Where the past month or so, I just have been pouring so much mental and emotional energy into building my business, right? I'm at this early growth stage, right? And I have just been like, it's all I think about. It's I'm working on it all the time, or at least fiddling away at it all the time, right? And I was feeling tired and overwhelmed and this weekend, I just had this moment of like, you know, I had this beautiful experience because my in-laws graciously watched my kids, where I got to really read for a while, which is my kind of coming home. Anyways, and I realized what I'd been doing. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to really surrender. I'm going to like get into this place of quiet, calm. And that's like, all right, I give it up to you, universe. If this is what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm going to stop like freaking out about it all the time. And a little while later, my son comes out of the bed. I was like, Mom, I'm having a bad dream. He was not having a bad dream. He was just trying to get me to lay down with him, but I caved. And so I like lay down next to him and fell asleep. So 3 hours later, I wake up in my sleep after my like, all right, I surrender it. Someone who I've never even met before booked a reading, and like this one soft launch that I posted had like the most comments I've ever had on anything that I ever posted before, of like all the people saying, I'm interested, I might want to take this course. And I was like, oh, I see what you did there, universe. But that was a big moment for me of like, oh, maybe there's really something to this.
That's interesting. Right. Well, because you're talking about rest, but I wonder, and I'm curious if you're referring, if this is the same thing or if you're referring to something different, which is this law. It sounds like you were saying being of service and giving.
Yes.
Was what brought something back. Is that kind of what you meant, Cynthia? That's what I kind of.
Oh, yeah. But you know, so yeah, it isn't just about money. It's about energy. You know, here's the thing. What you just said, Kylie, is just really important because up until the nap time, you were pushing, trying to make it happen. So it's like your hands were clenched and you couldn't receive. But when you let go and went in service to your child, the space opened for the universe to flow in.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think it happens on large and small scales.
I love that. That's such a good analogy because so many of us walk through life with our hands clenched, like white knuckling it, being so frustrated. Yeah. And then when you let go, it's like a palm open to say like, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Like those are clenched. That's actually come up actually, Cynthia, I one of the things I do with my clients is I read their Akashic records, and that's actually something that's come up. We've had clients do that in the session of like, okay, clench your fist. Can you receive anything? No, you can. It's a good exercise of like kind of a physical reminder when our energy gets so tight and so, as you put it, pushing, to actually do that tight gripping of your hands to make yourself realize what you're doing, and then the release as a way of,
Well, and you know, Kylie, you wouldn't be able to read the Akashic records if you hadn't opened to that infinite possibility coming through you.
Yeah.
So why would you need to push to make it happen?
That's so
I'll be over here crying, guys. Cynthia dropping some serious truth bombs.
Okay. So this is what I think the question that I get a lot from my clients, and I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are on this, Cynthia, because I think oftentimes people think, well, if I don't clench, if I let go, how do I get anything done? You know, where's the balance? There's this assumption that like, oh, if you let go, then it means the bills won't get paid. Do you know what I mean? So like, what's that balance, and how do you explain that in terms of like, sometimes you need to get shit done and sometimes you gotta let go, and you know, where's the middle?
Well, you know, there's this thing, there's motion and there's action. And I think co-creation comes where the bridge is. So motion is you have this great idea and you think about it and it's fabulous and you know it can work and you're going to be a healer and a teacher and you're going to transform the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
But without action, nothing happens. It's just a beautiful vision.
Right.
But when it jumps over to action where everything is doing and making it happen and pushing, and then the energy says, I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like where the vision meets the action is where manifestation occurs, because neither one is forced.
Mm. Oh, interesting. Neither one is forced. I mean, action isn't forced.
Right. Because here's the thing. I coach women at building their businesses. And what we tell them is like, you know, you have to do something every day on your business. Whatever that is. But it doesn't mean you become so inundated and so crazy that you don't eat, you don't sleep, you don't exercise, you don't meditate, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
So then because now you've gone to the other end of action where it's like it's taken over your life and there's no space for the universe to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What do you find in your experience? Because I think there's something, and I think maybe this is a little what Eva was getting at too, but there's something about letting the universe in that I think can be kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm wondering in your own experience, how you've overcome that or worked with that, and or how you kind of coach your clients around the fear that creeps in of like, well, if I let the universe in, I don't know. I mean, maybe we're all afraid of different things. Is it, if I let the universe in, what will be asked of me or what will happen, or I don't know. My question is unraveling, but I feel like you maybe understand what I'm getting at.
I do, but here's the thing. What you're talking about is control. Mm. We actually think we're controlling it. And in case you hadn't noticed, COVID has reminded us that we don't control anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What you do is you do the work. And then at some point you have to let go and trust that the right people, the right resources, the right platforms and delivery systems are going to show up because they're available, but they can't come in if you're doing it from your limited perspective. It's because you can only create from where you are in the moment, but you live in an unlimited universe.
Wait, say that again. That feels important.
Yeah. You can only create from the limited place that you are, from what you've learned so far, but you live in a universe that's unlimited. And every idea has a delivery system. Everyone. It may not be the one that we thought it was, but everyone has a delivery system.
Yeah, I think Kylie's writing that down because that's probably going to be one of our poll quotes.
I might put that on my wall.
Well, let me just tell you this. My first book, What Will Set You Free? I was visioning and meditating and it kept saying, you know, you're going to touch thousands of people. And I was like, all right, so I'm going to create a workshop. And I created a workshop and 6 people came. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not the vision. Right?
Yes.
No, I said, oh, well, maybe I need to do it again. So I'm telling you, for the first 2 years, there were never more than like 15 people. And I was like floored. And I'm like, okay, listen, universe, this is not what you told me. And I kept being told, be still. So somebody said, you know, you need to write all these things down that you're teaching. Create a book. So I made this little tiny book with the ugliest book cover known to man. And I charged like $1 or $2 if people could, you know. And then over, I'm going to say a 12-year period because it kept going in and out. The numbers started rising. And I started getting between 75 and 150 people in a room. Mm-hmm. And I kept learning from the room. And so the book kept expanding. Mm-hmm. So now there's the book. It's also in Spanish. And I train coaches in my work, which was the original vision. But quantum physicists will tell you there's no time and space. So my little limited timeline had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I love this story. Okay. So I hear what you're saying, meaning it still happened. It just didn't happen in the timeline that your ego wanted it to happen. And it didn't happen didn't take the same route either.
Totally.
Okay. But then my question is, so what do you do about the time between how you want something to go and how it actually happened? So your ego wants it to happen now. But it never happens as quickly as we want it to. It just, that's just not, that's rare. So how do you mitigate that in-between space? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because here's the thing. You keep doing what you love. And you keep being in service. During that time, that like 12-year period of time, I created a lot of content. I wrote a lot of curriculums. I did a lot of stuff and I spoke at a lot of places. And so it started building my platform, mm-hmm. you know, and people, you know, I'd speak for like 25, 30 people, and then there'd be people on my mailing list and it started building. So I believe if you are connected to your passion points, the things that light you up, mm-hmm. the things that bring you joy and ignite you, if you keep doing those, mm-hmm. they will go out like a magnet and pull in energy to create the field.
Yeah. Yeah, I do believe that. And kind of piggybacking on what you were saying earlier, though. So, you know, you were saying it took, you know, in 12 years that you're doing it, it started to grow organically. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that, like, people who are listening, because a lot of people who are listening have dreams and they're like, but I want it to happen now. I think the goal is to have those 12 years, for example, be 12 years not full of suffering, waiting for when it's going to happen. And I think going back to what you were saying earlier, I think a lot of it is mindset too.
Right.
Like working on your mindset in that time so you're not driving yourself bananas.
Yeah. And let me tell you, you know, I was a parallelpreneur a long time. And what that is
I did stuff to make money, mm-hmm. and then I worked on my passion mm-hmm. on the side. And mm-hmm. then pretty soon, the passion became the full time.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say to anybody who's got a dream out there and a vision, you know, it wouldn't be coming to you if it wasn't to come through you. But you still have to eat. You still have to pay your bills. You still have to take care of yourself. And there is no shame in doing whatever. I mean, if I were to sit down and just lay out my resume of life, you would say that girl cannot stay put for 15 seconds. Because I kept doing different jobs to feed my passion.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Because I think sometimes there's a story out there that like, no, you have to go all in. And if you're not all in, you must not be passionate. You must not be dedicated. And then I see people go all in and they're so stressed out that then they burn out because they've put all of their eggs in one basket. And I think,
yeah. Or the story that if you're not all in, is in like if you're not financially all in on your business as the only source of income, then you're somehow not believing in yourself. And
yeah,
what exactly. I hear you saying is yeah. that doesn't need to be the truth.
I'm saying caca.
Yeah.
because here's the thing, you know, you hear these stories of people who wrote, do you remember that movie a long, long time ago, Terms of Endearment?
Mm-hmm. I remember it, but I don't know if I remember.
It took like 15 years to get it made, mm-hmm. right? So if that person was only doing that, I mean, they probably would have starved to death.
Right.
You know, it's like you gotta be realistic and do as many things as you can. And I want to tell you that I really believe all these different jobs I had, right? Because I was an actress and I was successful for about 10 years and then it dried up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know today it dried up because I was to start doing something else. But at the time, you know, I was crazy because I had kids and all this stuff. But what I realize is all these jobs I took in between while I was building my coaching speaking business all fed everything that I do today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's no wasted time.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I feel like too, there's this idea that we get very attached to an outcome as the bringer of joy and satisfaction. So like my life will be fulfilling when my speaking and coaching career, you know, is what I do all the time. And so we delay our own enjoyment of life and we attach it to this thing that, you know, might take 15 years, might take 6 months, but either way we get caught in this loop. That's another way I feel like of pushing it away, because we're saying like, well, I can't be happy in my life right now because I don't have this thing, mm-hmm, which then right. makes it harder for that thing to arrive. Because another way of saying like the thought of not having the thing for 15 years feels so overwhelming, feels like tragic if you think Terms of Endearment being made is the only thing that will make you feel happy.
Yeah. I totally get it. So how long have you known you could read the Akashic Records?
Oh, me? It's been a little over a year and a half almost.
Okay. And leading up to that, were you a highly intuitive person?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So you could have, before the records dropped, and you could have said, oh, I'm highly intuitive. I should be a psychic. And I, right? Right? But you weren't ready for the next yeah. generation to drop in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And for me personally, it took the birth of my daughter. Like she's like a little baby witch, and she was born and that was like, she was like 6 weeks old the first time it all clicked together. So yeah, I know for sure I wasn't ready. But I think sometimes for me, that story of being not ready gets tied to this kind of like Christian morality stuff of you're not ready because you're not worthy yet, as opposed to like, you're not ready because like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Listeners, you should see Cynthia's face.
She's calling BS on that.
Yeah. Can you speak to that?
Oh, listen, we're divine beings. I don't understand how we could talk about the fact
that God is love and infinite, and we're made in the image and likeness of God, except dot, 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 dot. You know, I mean, it's like I think we're original blessings, not original sins. I feel like
I love that.
You know, we're all so unique. Nobody else has our fingerprints. No one else has our iridology. No one else has our DNA. So how could you not be worthy if you're original?
Okay, this whole show I'm just printing out and putting
we're both seriously writing notes. Okay, hold on. I want to pivot a little bit because it would be amiss if we didn't talk about this. Okay, because I feel like I'm going to spew out a bunch of different questions, but I promise you, I think they're all related. I think my question was, I want to talk about personal power, because I know I was going through your website and I know that's something that you talk about, is like helping people step into their personal power. And I think I want to understand, like, maybe you could speak a little bit about what that means, what that looks like. How does someone even know if they haven't stepped into their power? Mm-hmm. And then also, I feel like there's a definite connection between that and what's going on in the world right now with Black Lives Matter. And just speaking to our audience also about, what is our role in all of this? Because I think we have a role. There's something that we can do. And it is related, I think, to our personal power and spirituality and all this stuff. So I don't know if that's a really cohesive question.
I got it. It could be a little longer answer, but I got it.
Okay.
Here's the thing. People come to me and go, as soon as I find my purpose, I'm going to blah, 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 blah. I feel your purpose and your personal power are encoded in your DNA. You came with it. Your job is to reveal it. And so whoever you are, you know, and by the way, it all evolves. You know, what you were doing that led you to IIN, mm-hmm. that led you to, what do you do today?
I'm a life coach. Right. Yeah, I'm a meditation and mindset coach for women.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of that, those steps led, but it's the same thing. You, I would bet, from the time you were little, had something to do with supporting people. Mm-hmm. They would tell you their stories, something, right? Because that's what that was your power zone. That was your zone of genius. Right? Yes.
It was so funny because I didn't realize it until it happened. Then I was like, oh, this makes, like you were saying earlier, all the pieces came together. You can't really see it in the time, but then in hindsight, you're like, oh, I get why. Also, I also came from a background with some trauma and like with my mother and all these things. And that also fueled my passion for helping women now. It all makes sense in hindsight.
Right. I tell people, I wouldn't want anybody to go through what I went through as a child, but I'm really clear that my childhood impacted and influenced what I do today. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's the thing. If we're all standing in that personal power place, that zone of genius, then we understand that we are a contributor to the whole. Mm-hmm. When we start thinking that there's someone below us or separate from us or above us, then we start dimming that energetic light. And I think that's what we're looking at on the planet, that somebody decided that Black people or people of color were less than Caucasian. Mm-hmm. Now we can sit back and intellectually go, well, that makes no sense. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But if you are so convinced of that, then you get very busy creating entire systems, mm-hmm. education, emotional, mental, physical systems that start to disseminate that information. And I'm African American, and the self-worth thing, huge in my evolution. Mm-hmm. Because if you walk into a store and people automatically assume you're a thief, mm-hmm. if people talk to you badly, if people treat you badly, and that's the norm, you think, oh,
you internalize that.
That's right. Yeah. I must be left. So I think I want to tell you what I think. I'm in extraordinary hope, because I think pandemic COVID, which sat humanity down, it didn't matter if you were black, white, pink, purple, it didn't matter. It sat us all down. It isolated us all. We had to be with ourselves. We couldn't be distracted like we were. And then to see what we saw on television. Mm-hmm. Now, we've all heard about oppression. We've all heard about what's gone on with people of color. But we got to witness it firsthand in a way that we'd never seen before. And it wasn't just Black people talk about it. Yeah. It was on cameras, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, what it did was it ignited something in people that said, oh no, this is not okay.
Yeah.
So not only did they go out into the streets in Minneapolis, they went out into the streets across the country. They went out into the streets across the world and talked about the fact that 400 years of slavery is unacceptable. You brought people to this country and then you still abuse them. You know, Native Americans, women, GLBT, you know, it doesn't matter. It's like we're seeing, it's like our eyes got opened.
Yeah.
And we're like, no. And so I feel like without anybody getting on a megaphone and saying, okay, everybody into the streets now, people just went.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's, Kylie and I have spent some time talking about that, how maybe all of these things are, you know, even with Trump too, like maybe all these things are here to be a catalyst for some type of change.
Yes.
But to keep it going, you know what I mean? And to make this more, I don't know. I think that sometimes there's this idea, or now currently there's this idea of like, okay, so that initial sort of like rush and intensity might be over. How can we keep this going? And also, what is our part? What is my, you know, what is my individual part in all of this? And I guess the reason I'm asking this specifically is because previously you were talking, you said about how like, yeah, I don't know what you said specifically, but this idea of how we are all blessed beings, you know, we're not, what did you say? Original blessings, not original sins, which I love so much. How can people step more into their power now, I guess?
So first of all, I think we come to the table. What you're doing right now with your podcast is a part of the answer. Mm-hmm. I had 70-some women on, I called it a conversation of the heart. And I invited women, all colors, all backgrounds, all sexual preferences, come. Let's talk about what's happening. The sadness, the upset, the confusion, the all of it, let's bring it to the table. And I they're on Zoom, so I put them in groups and stuff. And the thing is, it's like, we gotta talk about it. And we gotta talk about our feelings. And we also have to stay talking about it and stay present. What I believe is like, it's no longer okay for just Black people to talk about what's happening to them. White people have to come to the table. Asian people have to come to the table. Mm-hmm. You know, Indigenous people, we all have to come to the table and say, oh, I'm sorry. No, you don't get to do it over there. Mm-hmm. And we just turn our backs and don't talk about it. It's happening and it's not okay. It's not okay for kids to be in cages at the border. Yeah. It's not okay. So I think, you know, I love that we're in a technological age, you know, that the two of you could come together and say, let's create a podcast and let's talk about stuff. You know, I think that that's it. And I think the more that we do that and the more that we, you know, and I know there are crazy people in social media. I see them. But I also think there are a lot of people who are awake and are awakening and they want to know what to do. So one of the things I want to say in this country is vote. Yeah. If you do not like what you see, because a part of what has happened is that we got so apathetic.
Yeah.
That we stopped voting. Even people from my race, who people died for us to have the vote.
Yeah.
I think that's, I think that goes back to what you were saying also about personal power, because I think apathy, in my experience and in my mind, comes from thinking that you're powerless. Which is especially shitty when us white people think we're powerless about race, right? but like, that's the root of apathy. So to just like ground yourself in personal power feels like an important piece of the puzzle, because if you are standing in a place of knowing that like you are like
you are the creative possibility, you are infinite possibility, then you can't throw your hands up and say, well, I don't know, it's always been this way, right? Yeah.
And it's important to get educated. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think all these people in the streets has opened people's minds to go, well, let me go look at the history. Let me go look at the, I mean, Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, Black people have been doing Juneteenth for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
But until all this happened.
Yeah, I have to be honest, I didn't know what Juneteenth was before this year.
Right.
Yeah. And then it was all over social media. And then, yeah, exactly. I went and learned and educated myself on the history.
Right. And so I think that the more we talk, the more we become educated, then the more educated decisions we make in terms of how we want to show up, where we want to volunteer, where we want to put our money, you know, where we want to put our energy. I mean, I just think, and I think collaborate, you know, I mean, you two come from two different backgrounds and you're collaborating to lift. Mm-hmm. And I think if that starts to happen, I have a business partner, she's Caucasian, you know, we do all this stuff for women, and it's really great because we get to bring in the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Kylie and I are saying that all the time because she's much more, I'm like the logical, I consider myself the logical one. And I think she's more like the mystical one. And I think it's good. It's a compliment. They complement each other. Not to say that.
Oh, you know, great. Kylie's so
logical. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to just add, it just goes back to our original conversation too. I think what I need to remind myself is that, again, it's time. It's not going to happen necessarily like this. It's not going to happen overnight in the time that I want it to happen, but that doesn't mean that change isn't happening.
Right.
I just want to make sure I'm not, because I actually had this, I was on another call earlier this week and we're on a great community call where the woman was like, leading it, she was like, we should all just think about how we can all be abolitionists in the work that we're doing now. Like, doesn't matter what you do, like, if like you could be a, you know, parents definitely for sure can be an abolitionist, and like teach your babies to be baby abolitionists, you know, just deconstructing systems, starting also with the systems in our own mind,
right?
Which I think also, Cynthia, is what you're doing when you help women, you know, unpack the shit and the fear and all that stuff. We're all just doing our own little abolitionist work, but yeah. And then I start to think, okay, so it is kind of happening. Maybe things can only happen in their own time.
Yes.
But I just want to make sure that's not spiritual bypassing, because I feel like there are people dying every time, you know?
I don't think so, because George Floyd was killed 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Was it only 3 weeks ago? It seems longer.
Yeah, I think it was three, maybe four. But here's the deal. None of us could have predicted the impact of one man's death on a world.
Yeah.
So awakening can happen in a moment. The real issue becomes, how do we stay awake?
Yes. 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 Yeah.
Because it's easy to go back to what we think is normal.
So yeah,
which was never normal in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's seductive because, like, you know, even if you don't, if you don't like it there, it's familiar.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But the thing is like, when we go back to this, to the interconnectedness of humanity, if one of us is oppressed, we're all oppressed on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If one of us is in pain, we're all in pain. And so it's like the poor people, the numbers are rising. Mm-hmm. And you know, and the wealth is going to a much smaller percentage. And those of us who were in the middle class, who thought we were safe and were making it, it's shrinking. Mm-hmm. And we're having to work harder. And so it's like, it's happening to us all. And I was listening to this, I think it was a newscast, I'm not sure in the moment, but it was about what's happening in prisons. COVID is rising at an astronomical rate. Mm. Because it's really like, it's like being on a cruise ship, you know, you're like, and what some of the politicians are saying, well, you know, it's okay because it's contained, but it's not, because there are people going in and out of prisons all the time, mm-hmm. who are taking it, you know, and it's like,
it's also, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead. It's also is just a clear declaration of whose lives matter and whose lives don't, right? It's contained, and also, like, you know, those people are expendable.
Right.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And how do we live on a planet where we declare any life is expendable? Mm-hmm. I mean, when we look at the Native Americans, you know, and what's happened to them, because this was their country in the first place, mm-hmm. you know, and COVID actually has been on the rise in Native American community too. It's like we've got to understand that you can't segment out a population and treat them badly and it not have an impact on the soul of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. That's something I felt very clearly. Again, we talked about this, Patty and I have talked about this, but before I got into like understanding spirituality and spiritual practices, I didn't understand that because I didn't understand that we were connected. I just didn't feel connected because I was, quite honestly, you know, in my own depressive state and wasn't just thinking on that level. And now I see so clearly exactly what you said, like one person who's oppressed, we're all, because also those rules apply to us. Like we're not escaping, you know, we're not invincible to that. It's not like they could do that to one group of people. They could do that to anybody. The institutions exactly. could do that to anyone at any moment. Exactly. Like there's right. just no trust there whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Ava, that, you know, when you sit in front of your clients, you couldn't support them if there wasn't a connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you have a business, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 clients, there has to be a reason you can be in service to all of those clients because there's an interconnection.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And I just, you're right. Yeah. It's so simple, you know, like I kind of take that for granted, but it's right there. Like, you know, yeah. the proof is right there.
Yeah.
Cynthia, I could ask you a million questions, but I want to be mindful of time because I know that you have something we want to go do with your husband, which I'm here for because I want you to go out and enjoy your life and live it and be an example of that for all. But Kylie, did you have any other questions before we get to our joy question?
I'm just really so grateful for you for spending your time with us. I guess my last question would just be, what is the thing that you would go back in time to tell the you who didn't know that she was worthy?
I would tell her, you have nothing to worry about. The universe is so conspiring for you and your health and your well-being and your joy. And you're here because you're important, because you matter, because your voice matters. You need worry about nothing. You are going to be a beneficial presence on this planet, and it's assured.
I feel like that was directed right towards, you know, me and probably all the women listening.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not crying.
No, truly, I just feel like Mother Earth just came down and just like yes. gave us a nice warm hug. That was so yes. beautiful. Yes.
Are you two millennials? Are you considered millennials?
Technically, I'm an old millennial.
Yeah, I'm 36. I think Kylie, you're 35, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we're on like the edge of being millennials.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so grateful you're on the planet. You're change makers.
That is, thank you. I'll just take that as a compliment because that's actually how I know how you feel because I actually feel that about the generation under us. Like, they're a fucking powerhouse. And my partner reminds me when I get really cynical about the world, he's like, and he's a cynical person, so it's a lot for him to say. He's like, but I have hope because the people who are going to be in power after us, like, they're ahead of the game. So,
right. Well, and you are, so what you're doing is your portals have been opened for you and you're opening portals and they'll open portals. So the legacy is freedom.
Yes.
Everyone listening, start fist pumping. That's what's happening right here.
Yes. No, because freedom, that is what I'm always talking about. Just freedom. That's what everybody wants. Freedom in our minds so that, you know, to reduce suffering and also. But when we find freedoms in our minds, like you said, we see some shit that we can't unsee it anymore. And then we change and we stay awake because we can't go back to being asleep. That's not even an option anymore because you're just like, well, that's not real. So yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Cynthia, future iteration when Eva and I are have Hello Universe tour, we're gonna re-release this episode and play Beyonce in the background because all I'm hearing right now is Beyonce singing Freedom.
Yes, I love it. Okay, do you have one more time for one more question, or it's okay if we need to go?
Go ahead, you can do one more.
Okay, well, we just like to end the podcast always with what's something that's bringing you joy in the moment.
This. Listen, I am grateful to awaken every day and do what I love, to be a model for my children and my grandchildren, and to do what I love and to get to interact with people who are seekers.
Mm. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much for putting your life, you're doing this, making this worth your life. Kylie, so we usually go in a circle. Kylie, what's something that's bringing you joy right now?
Oh, my mom is visiting, which childcare in the age of COVID is always a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I actually will also say, and I just love my mom. Like she's a big podcast fan. So shout out mom.
Yay. I guess I love your mom. Hi.
Yeah, she's in our Facebook group, like commenting, Eva, you're beautiful. Tell us more about journaling.
I know. I'm here for it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. But yeah, no, my having my mom here is just like practically very helpful, but also, she is like a super fan of me in a way that inspires me to be a better mom. And also, she's just someone who's like bursting with ideas and energy and love. And it's really lovely to spend time with her.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Yeah.
What every mother wants to hear.
Yeah. Just laying the seed so that my kids will say this about me.
Yeah, well, we should say also hi to your mom. Thank you for having, she created you. And so that is also a gift. So thank you, Kylie's mom.
How about you, Eva?
So mine is much more superficial. I splurged on fancy sweats. I have to tell you, splurging on things I always feel guilty about because I could just go get sweats, you know, like anywhere. But I have to say, I don't regret it because they are so comfy. And I just took this road trip from Arizona to California to see my family. And I'm like, worth every penny. And I'm going to wear them until they have holes in them and they're comfortable and stylish. And, I'm just going to practice not feeling bad about it.
Yeah. I love this.
I'm just wearing sweats like basically all the time now. So it's relevant. Okay. Cynthia, where can people find your work?
CynthiaJames.net. And you can get all my social media on there and all my products and everything.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.